The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Rose, I'm David Jacoby.
What up,
we
though?
Are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen, we have huge news in the NFL. You'll never believe this. Dak Prescott followed another team on Instagram, and Russell Wilson does not want to be hit by opposing players. But we start for the second time this season in Detroit with your Pistons, who were hosting the Brooklyn Nets. And that man, Jeremy Grant, put up a 32-point career high in a win for the Pistons over the Nets. You had a front row seat for this one. What was your biggest takeaway from this best game of the season, I'm calling it already, for the Pistons?
Shout out to my Pistons family. Appreciate the hospitality shown to myself and my brother, Kev. We had a great time. It was my first time as a fan being at a game, Jacoby, wearing a mask. And I realized that I'm a loud individual without one. With that being said, what I was screaming the entire game is, "Welcome home, Jeremy! Welcome home!" For a guy that left the Denver Nuggets, who clearly have a better team on paper, he not only wanted an opportunity to be a feature player, he said he wanted to play in a city that was primarily black. So he chose Detroit. The same money in Denver, he chose Detroit. And he had a career high last night. And also he scored over 30 points more since January 1st than he has his entire career. I was really proud of the effort by my Pistons the entire game. Great coaching by Dwayne Casey. Our squad has shown up recently in particular against the best team in best teams in both conferences.
Jalen, I'm just so happy for you. I'm so happy to get to be a part of this, where we start the show talking about how well the Pistons played, because that's not the story of this game. The story of this game is, once again, the Nets defense did them in. They allowed so many points in the paint. In the first half alone, they allowed 40 points in the paint. And that right there, fast break points. It just seemed like if the Nets didn't score, the other team was just going down to score. It just seemed like that for the last few games. And Jalen, when we saw this team form and we saw how formidable they were on offense, you and I were both like, you know what? Who cares about defense? No big deal. They're going to score so much. They have so much firepower. It's not going to be a problem. Well, guess what? I'm starting to rethink that, Jalen. I think it's a problem. Look at these numbers.
The thing that makes it a problem, Jacoby, is this isn't boxing. I could be in a ring with Mike Tyson and punch him as many times as I want, and he'd be like, come on, because I can't hurt him. But in basketball, if I'm scoring, I start to feel better about my game. I don't care who I'm playing against. And if we get 125, then all of a sudden, each player that gets an opportunity to make a shot, Plumlee, tip dunk, making a play. Blake Griffin on a post, making a play. And so now, when we get a rebound and get it out in the possession, the Nets don't get back, Jacoby. We were scoring an early offense really easy. Once we decided to pump fake the ball and drive it to the paint, that was a layup. I came front. The ball actually came to me one time during the game. I am not making this up. I could have got a layup against that defense. I promise you I could have.
Well, I'm glad you didn't attempt, because you'd probably be doing the show from a hospital bed today. But, Jalen, there's also something else that's happening with these Nets that had nothing to do with their defense. It's James Harden playing Mr. Nice Guy. James Harden showed up. There's all this focus on him about his game and how many shots he's going to take. Well, it just seems like he's taking a backseat. Kyrie Irving, 28 shots yesterday. James Harden, 14 shots. James Harden's taking less shots right now than he has in 10 seasons. Jalen, what do you think about how James Harden is approaching not just the defense, but also the offensive side?
I think that visual you just showed with that arrow is one I showed on NBA Countdown when he didn't have the ball, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. And trust me, I had people from their organization contact me and told me that that wasn't fair to James. And what I said to them is the responsibility of a player is when he does not have the ball to still create an action, especially if he's the best player, to get somebody else open. And what I noticed, whether it's in Houston or with the Nets, one of the most prolific players and scorers that the league has seen, and a lefty that makes all of us proud the way he easily gets buckets anytime he gets ready. When he's initiating the offense, it's half speed. Once he passes the ball, it's quarter speed. And so what they're going to have to decide is when he does not have the ball, are they going to coach and challenge him to actually be a part of the offense? Is he going to do some dribble handoffs? Is he going to be a part of some single-double action? Is he going to do some flares? Is he going to do some cuts? Because that's what they're going to need to do to diversify their offense.
Absolutely. And it is worth noting that while they did lose to the Pistons, they were without one of the best players in the entire league. Of course, Kevin Durant is out because of COVID protocols, although he has produced a lot of negative tests. And it was that and some other things that sort of had Kyrie Irving a little frustrated after the game. And here's what he said about how the Nets have to approach this season.
We're the team that gets someone taken out during COVID, during the games. We're the team that has to deal with the refs. We're the team that is literally battling against so many odds.
Jalen, you know, one of my sayings is everyone's a hero in their own movie. And oh, the Nets. We have to feel so bad for the Nets because of the COVID protocols and the refs are all against them. What do you think about Kyrie Irving's sentiment?
The things that he's saying are actually accurate, but they apply to all of the teams, not just theirs. But the one thing I will say about Kyrie Irving, and you know I love this game of basketball. I was sitting really close, and I looked at a few of his moves, and I was like, that looks like Isaiah Thomas. I can't lie. I looked at a couple of his post moves and I was like, that looks like Kobe Bryant. True story. And the other thing I found myself doing is that man's left hand, there are most people that are right-handed, they can't wipe their backside with their left hand. Kyrie Irving, when he drives that thing to the bucket, Jacoby, him and Steph Curry jumping off both legs, using both hands, it's terrific to watch those guys finish inside of the paint.
Well, there was some other action in the NBA, and there was a big game between powerhouse in the West and a powerhouse in the East, and it was the Utah Jazz that not only won the game, but they won the game and put themselves on top of the Western Conference, the only 20-win team in the league. What has been the key to the success of the Jazz in the last month or so?
Utah, like I said, while everybody's starting to jump on the bandwagon, I got y'all. I had David Jacoby call y'all boring one day, make y'all watch the next day, and all of a sudden, he even came on the show and was like, the Jazz are exciting. Because here's the thing, Jacoby, they weren't built off a gimmick on either side of the ball. It wasn't like, we're only going to shoot threes offensively, or we're really going to lock down and play in the mud defensively. They have an anchor and identity in Rudy Gobert, who's the best big that's a defender in the league. They have a go-to superstar caliber player in Donovan Mitchell, who's also clutch, that can get shots for himself and for others. They got one of my favorite irrational heat check guys in Jordan Clarkson coming off the bench that's going to get me 20 almost. And then they got somebody that's so very good that nobody ever talks about. Bojan Bogdanovic, who can play off the dribble, who can catch and shoot, and he's also clutch. If there is a team that's just as good as the Los Angeles Lakers, if there is a team that's going to beat the Los Angeles Lakers in a seven-game series, it ain't going to be the Clippers. It ain't going to be the Nuggets. It's going to be the Utah Jazz. Mark my words, we got the Jazz, we got the Jazz, we got the Jazz.
Jalen, We got the Jazz, but I don't got the Jazz over the Lakers in a 7-game series, and something tells me you don't either. But we have to talk about this next story because it involves something that we'll be hearing a lot of.
That don't mean it can't happen.
Well, it involves something we'll be hearing a lot of in the next few months, and of course that is unfounded, irresponsible NFL quarterback speculation.
Yes!
Because this is going to be going on a lot. So we just want to be clear. Russell Wilson, you'll never believe this, when asked about trade, said, that's not really my thing. It's up to the Seahawks. When asked about getting hit, he said, I don't like getting hit. I've been sacked 400 times. And that, of course, means to media members that he's going to leave Seattle. Jalen, please bring some sense into all of this. Russell Wilson is not leaving Seattle.
Here's the sense I want to bring to it. One of my favorite artists and group of all time are George Clinton and Parliament. And he once said, you can dance underwater and not get wet. Ow! That's what this reminds me of. Of course, Russell Wilson doesn't want to get hit. You know what Russell really wanted? I came on this program and told you guys before you saw it at the bottom of the ticker. He wanted a new offensive coordinator. That's what he wanted because Metcalf was being locked down by Ramsey, and they didn't like that. Lockett wasn't necessarily getting open. They didn't like that. Carson wasn't necessarily getting featured the way he should, and they didn't like that. They just didn't invest the last few years in the offensive line. What Russell is speaking is the obvious to anybody that watches their team. They will be investing in their offensive line moving forward and not trading Russell Wilson if they have any sense.
Russell Wilson will not be traded. He will be on the Seahawks. And it's also important to note that he did have some influence reportedly over the hiring of Shane Waldron as the offensive coordinator. Jalen, that's not the only NFL quarterback that we have some speculation about. You'll never believe this. Huge news. That man, Dak Prescott, followed the Washington football team in Instagram. What does that mean? We will tell you right after this. You are watching J&J.
Lift every voice and sing.
James Harris was the first African-American quarterback to begin an NFL season as a starter. In 1969, he was drafted by the Buffalo Bills and was seventh on the depth chart to open training camp. But by the beginning of that season, he was named the starter and in 1974 was selected to the Pro Bowl.
Coming to you live from the Seaport District of New York City and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, it's my least favorite segment because you call the shots. This is where you decide what we discuss. It is Keep It Moving.
Wu-Tang! Wu-Tang!
If you want to discuss the topic, say hit the brakes. If not, we'll keep it moving. And we start with Dak Prescott on social media. Well, just recently, Cowboys made a hype video. Dak Prescott was absent from that video, and now he has followed the Washington football team on Instagram. Jalen, we'll make anything a story in the football offseason, won't we?
Well, actually, this is a story because it's one thing if we homies and we fall out. It's another thing if you try to now become friends with my enemy. And that's what I see here. So Dak is letting the Cowboys know, y'all skating on thin ice. Y'all want to play these games? We could go all the way there. Stay tuned. I would much rather see him as a fan of his. If I represent only his best interest, I would rather see him with Washington going forward, who will appreciate him, than Dallas. And one team has Chase Young, too.
I'll say this. Why are we all being so petty? Like, I think the negotiation between the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott should happen between their representatives over a negotiating table. It shouldn't happen in hype videos. It shouldn't happen on clicking follow on Instagram. Like, that's where these conversations should be had.
But if you're going to do a hype video and you're a multi-billion dollar company, either add Dak to it and take him out if the information changes, or don't do a hype video since the NFL is rarely having fans and it's not going to change your bottom line. You basically did that to upset him almost.
Well, staying in Dallas, it is Mark Cuban, the owner of the Mavs, who's made a decision that is now getting some press. All season long, the Mavs had decided not to play the national anthem before games. Now it is getting picked up and noticed. What do you think about Cuban's decision not to play the anthem before games?
See, most people got exposed to this topic when Colin Kaepernick started to take a knee in the NFL in 2016. I lived this topic in the mid-90s with Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf when he decided to pray during the national anthem. And so he was doing it for months and months and months before it became a mainstream story. And then that's where they took action and ultimately blackballed him out of the league. And so for Colin Kaepernick in the modern day, what basically has happened is made us all pay attention to why at a basketball or football or sporting event is the national anthem played when it isn't taking place like that in normal society. It doesn't happen like that in other businesses and other professions. And then everybody peeled the onion back and realized, oh, it's because they're paid to play the national anthem. It's a business arrangement. So I applaud Mark Cuban, but more importantly, we're just acknowledging that more teams and leagues will now follow suit.
I think you will see more games played without the anthem played before it. And I think I could attend probably 45 games live without the anthem before I even noticed that it wasn't there. Moving on, the Sixers have the best record in the Eastern Conference after a win against the Kings. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
De'Aaron Fox is balling. Joel Embiid has been consistent this year. Keep it moving for now.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Todd McShay put out a new mocked NFL draft, which is pretty interesting. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
I'm just trying to think of what a Lions draft. Usually we're in the top four. And we don't need a quarterback, I don't think. Keep it moving for now.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Interesting contest between the Rockets and the Pelicans yesterday. Keep it moving or hit
the brakes on this one. Hit the brakes.
The Rockets were shorthanded without Wood and Oladipo, and the Pelicans took advantage, especially down low. What do you think of this game?
I think Stan Van Gundy found something with the Pelicans.
And what's that?
And that's having this team commit to playing defense. And usually when individuals can't do it, collectively it doesn't happen like it wasn't in the beginning of the season. You put team defenders in. And that guy going forward, remember this, it's going to be Josh Hart. That's going to be a player that Stan Van Gundy is going to treat like Pop used to treat George Hill almost. Like, the rest of the world may not value him, but Stan Van Gundy and I know how good Josh Hart is. 17 rebounds for a guard in that game.
Well, while they did bring in Boogie and while they did bring in Christian Wood, I was watching
Boogie!
This game and Boogie wasn't on the floor that much and Wood wasn't available. Rockets are still small. Zion was just beasting down. The Rockets are still small. They still need to be a little bit more formidable up front when they play big, strong players like Zion Williamson. Finally, I have a unique way a man in Chicago saves his parking spots. Keep him moving or hit the brakes. Now, this is, I don't know if it's effective, but it's unique. This gentleman in Chicago freezes his pants, shout to the stonewashed jeans, and then not only that, takes those frozen pants and places them in parking spots to save them while he is gone. Jalen, your thoughts on this practice from this man in Chicago?
I just think that it's funny, and I'm glad that it made the show. However, we all know, especially in Chicago, that ain't going to stop nothing right
That's
there,
That's not stopping
dog.
Me at all. That's not stopping me
that
at all.
That ain't stopping nothing
If I've
right
been driving
that,
around three blocks looking for a
nothing.
Spot and I see that, I'm parking right there.
So let
I don't
me
care
see.
How
it's
frozen
cold
the pants are.
Outside and I'm trying to get a parking spot and that's there, I'm not going to be able to do it. Either I'm getting out, pushing them down, moving them myself, or running them over.
Driving them over.
All of the above.
If there's no person inside the pants, I am parking there for sure. Jalen, there are two things that we need to discuss. Number one, Jim Boeheim may or may not have eaten a booger. Number two, our bet on the Super Bowl needs to be paid off, but there's still some things to discuss on the terms. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. NBA tonight, ESPN 7:30, Trae Young, Luka Doncic, forever going to be linked. They link up tonight at 7:30, and then in the nightcap we have Giannis and the Bucks traveling to play that man, Devin Booker, and the Suns. That's at 10 p.m. Jalen, did Jim Boeheim pick a booger and then eat a booger? Because that's what it looks like to me.
Not only did he pick the booger and eat it, he didn't do it with his index finger. He did it with his middle finger.
He did. Boeheim.
Oh, my goodness.
Coach, pick and flick. Pick and flick, coach. Pick and flick. I'm not going to say I don't pick my boogers, but I don't eat my boogers. And finally, we made a bet on the Super Bowl, and it has been very contentious about exactly what the terms of that bet are. Let's just play the tape and then discuss it. We have decided on the stakes of our bet. Jalen has the Bucks. I have the Chiefs. The loser of the bet has to wear clown makeup on next Friday's show. What do you think, Jay?
I don't want to hear no excuse from you. I want to see the hair. I want to see the nose. I want to see the outfit. And if I lose, I'm going to dress like Homie the Clown.
Okay. I said makeup. You said outfit. It sounds like this whole bet is void because we had different terms. That's what it sounds like to me. If I said $10 and you said $1 million, you can't just say it's $1 million after the fact. Sorry, not dressing up like a clown on Friday. Not doing it. All right, I'm probably going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Fine, You lost.
Make sure you tune in tomorrow and Friday, 2 p.m. ESPN. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is exclusive content for our favorite audience, our podcast listeners. If you catch us on TV, that you just happen to catch us on TV, or you DVR the show, but podcast listeners seek us out. Actively push play on this podcast, which is why we will always give you exclusive content. And I want to expand upon something that's going to be happening a lot in the next few months. We've had this show for 10 years, both of them been in the media for like 20 years apiece. And there's going to be a lot of conversations about the NFL after the Super Bowl. The draft is its own thing, but the idea that Russell Wilson said that he doesn't know if he's going to be traded because that's not his decision, it's the team's decision, and that he doesn't like being sacked as a quarterback, and that's something that they should address, does not mean that he was requesting to be traded, does not mean that other teams should be inquiring about him being unhappy. He's going to play for the Seattle Seahawks. That's going to happen. But bigger than that is these types of stories are going to happen over the next few months, and what do we call them?
Forced football stories. That's what we call them.
That's what they are.
And we're in the content business. And I've always listened to the heartbeat of the audience. And you know what they appreciate? Currency. Things that are happening right now. If we're talking about a topic today that could be talked about next Monday, that ain't currency. But if we're talking about a topic today that need to get addressed right now, that's currency. And so I believe this is one of the things, Jacoby, that allowed us to navigate for so very long in the marketplace. We started to actually provide an alternative to those who didn't want to only hear about Dak Prescott, Tony Romo, Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys, and then on the other side, LeBron James, the Los Angeles Lakers. Story brands that when you put their name in headlines, a lot of times people believe that's going to make us want to watch or listen. But those same people, trust me, when you have your ear to the ground, aren't stupid. And they say, all right, we roll with y'all during football season. We roll with y'all during the NBA season. But now the season has ended. So now, like Jay said, you want the old Jay? Buy the old album. They already heard it. So now we got to give them something fresh. And that's what the people want.
And we understand that football is the most popular sport by the numbers and by the money in the country. And we're going to discuss football topics as they happen. Carson Wentz gets traded. We're not going to ignore it. But if potentially Carson Wentz might get traded in the next 72 hours, but we don't really know to who, we don't need to cover that. But there is something that I'm going to say that is actually significant. I know you agree with me. The Dak Prescott thing is kind of significant. Because we went through this last season, and he got franchised, and he got hurt. And then him following the rival football team on Instagram is not an accident. I don't really follow a lot of sports teams on Instagram because they're basically just kind of like fluff accounts. You know, they just kind of like put highlights and stats up there. But Jalen, following the Washington football team, the rival franchise, doesn't feel like it if you're under like 30, that the football team and the Cowboys are rivals. But trust me, they are an old, old historic rivalry in this league. And him following the football team putting Heineken out there at quarterback in the playoffs is interesting. Because he had to take an action there. Russell Wilson, I read the context around what Russell Wilson said. You know what they're not talking about? The part where he said, every offseason, this organization does everything they can to make it better and win the next season. They don't put that on Front Street. Nope, just the part where he says, yeah, I don't like getting hit.
But Jalen,
Dak took an effort to follow the Instagram.
Absolutely. And I want to go back to what you said about the popularity of football and put a bow on it with the exclamation point of Dak Prescott. Here's what happened in the industry. Just like any market, it changes. And so certain shows were more popular talking about certain topics when there were less competition in the marketplace. And not just on television, I mean, streaming as well. And just young people are cord cutters and have more interest. And because football plays 17 weeks, that places a premium on each game. That premium is not just our love for football. That premium is for betting. Let's not get it twisted. The popularity of football is based on betting. It ain't love. It's based on betting. So many times people come up to you like they're fans when they're, yeah, I root for the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, that's my squad. But I got like 7 bets on the game. So your interest now becomes your fantasy team. It now becomes who you're betting on. That's what propels football, not just the 17 weeks, which is why, yes, those games, because we love football, like myself, it's a holiday every Sunday. I'm gonna stop everything I'm doing, especially on Sunday. It becomes must-see TV. And because of that, we're all gonna watch. And we should watch. But here's the line of demarcation that has changed. As football and basketball both started to grow, basketball did something that football has not done. Expand internationally. Tell me the number one NFL player that isn't from the United States.
We play this game all the time, and I know there's always like some sort of Kyrie Irving thing where someone grew up in Australia but actually is American. There's something like that, but Joseph Ajayi comes to mind. I don't know. I mean, or probably someone from the South Pacific or something, yeah.
Correct. So,
Tua Tagovailoa probably or something. You know, something like that. Just some backdoor answer.
So I can't front. This is like when I hear certain people talk about basketball. And I don't even care. You could be a highest executive in the industry. Like, this is one of the sentences that come out of people's mouths that actually isn't accurate. But over time, it continues to get lazily said like it's true, when it actually isn't. Because when you say football is more popular,
it is.
You're cutting me off, white American man. When people say that, you're only talking about in the United States.
Yes.
Okay. There's a big world out there for people like you. And I want to teach y'all something. Soccer is actually more popular than the NFL.
Yes.
But we don't talk about soccer. Why? Because we think it's not popular in the United States. And so the sport that actually has more popular players in it and has a global appeal is the NBA. You line up the 10 most popular players in the NBA and the 10 most popular players in the NFL, and we start talking about their commercials, their social media, their endorsements, their international appeal, and that score ain't even close. I think I got more followers on Twitter than Aaron Rodgers. Okay? And so now when people started to build shows around that premise, they decided that the only people that they wanted to hire that were former players were football players. Along with that same premise. This is why I got in the game, by the way. I'm giving y'all game to Jacoby. No. This is why Jalen Rose got in the game. Because I'm like, wait a minute. So let me get this right. So since we are lazily running with this football thing and basketball players are clearly more popular, if we're going to start a show, it seems like it would be from the more popular sport. It would be from the sport with the more popular players. Not necessarily from the sport that's more popular. And all of my brothers who do this job and have been doing it for a living, Michael Strahan, Mike Golick, Marcellus Wiley, Chris Carter, Keyshawn Johnson, Acho, Shannon Sharp. If you notice, all of the national people are former football players. That didn't change until 2012 when Numbers Never Lie happened. When I started to be the first basketball player to do a Monday through Friday show. And so now 10 years later, that hasn't changed. I'm still here to break the barrier.
I have to give you a compliment. I don't like to compliment you. I have to give you a compliment. Because when you say you interrupted me, white American male, I can't interrupt you again. So then you can just talk for 8 minutes. That's brilliant. Because I can't do it twice. You know what I mean? So now I'm hamstrung. Now I'm like, all right, well, if I'm interrupting him, then I'm super racist. And I'll respect him. But now I got to sit here and let him list everybody that's on TV that play football. Man, but that was brilliant.
But
you interrupted me, black American male. You interrupted me, black American male. Like, if we don't interrupt each other, neither of us will talk, all right? So we got to call a truce on that one, Doug. We got to call a truce on that one, black American male. Thank you. Gee.
I bow down to my brother. But in all honesty, there are a lot of people that, you know this, Jacoby. I'm pretty sure people be hitting your DMs and calling your phone and like, hey, Jacoby, what do I got to do to get in the game? So there were years where I had Jared Dudley, CJ McCollum, Nate Burleson, like all of these guys kind of hitting me about what they should do and ideas about how to get in the game. And I'm pretty sure people that quote unquote didn't play professional sports do that with you. So for me, it's important to teach people trends so that now when you hope to break certain barriers that sometimes we don't even realize exist. That's one that exists in this industry.
Yes. Now, I don't think it's lazy to say that football is more popular domestically than basketball because it's objectively, quantifiably true.
Can I add some fine print to that? You handsome, intelligent man that knows how to... you know how to select your word.
Mm-hmm.
You also said domestically.
Yes. Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yes.
But when people say that, they speak it like it's internationally. And that's not true.
Fair. One thing that I find wild about football, American football, is baseball has caught on in Japan. Korea. Big baseball leagues. That's a very American sport, right? That hasn't caught on in other places. There is absolutely no bleed over of this sport into other countries. Like you would think, and it's like there, it's very rare that there will be, we are a very influential country. And you know what I mean? You can disagree with that and you can split hairs and all that, but we're a very influential country when it comes to culture and what people see and hear around the world. And you would think that a sport that was so popular here would gain popularity in other places. But outside of Canada, there is no other leagues. And you can go ahead and DM me and say, well, actually in Samoa, they've got a semi-pro league. Like, fine. But like outside of Canada, there's no sort of like big football leagues. It's just wild to me that we care so much about something that the rest of the world literally doesn't even understand the rules to. Literally doesn't even know the rules.
And since we're the land of the free and we're the ultimate melting pot, and plus the goal in America is always going to be, how can we expand whatever we're selling globally, mm-hmm. internationally? That's always the conversation. Yet, sometimes when people in powerful positions and or who just have worked in the industry a long time, they say things off of muscle memory like they're fact, but it's not a fact. Football isn't the most popular sport. It's the most popular sport in the United States.
Yes. And if I was buying stock in a league, and if it was NBA or NFL, it wouldn't even be a question.
Wouldn't it be close?
It wouldn't even be a question. It wouldn't even be a question. It would not even be a question. But the numbers are also undeniable, just like the sheer just volume of human beings. There'll be a Bengals Jaguars game that will rate better than the NBA Finals, Game 7. You know what I mean? It's just the way it is. Like, those are the breaks. And the quantity of the games are different, and, you know, whatever. I get it. But it's interesting the way that things are going. But that being said, Dak Prescott, you didn't have to do that, Doug.
Yes, he did. Because, you know what? If y'all gonna do a hype video and not include me in the video, that means human beings have phone conversations, sent texts, sent emails, and did all of that, and ultimately decided to not have me be a part of it. That was done on purpose.
Do you know what this tells me? That they've had conversations about a new contract for Dak, and Dak's people came back to Dak, and the Cowboys people came back to Jerry, and they said, we're far apart. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like they're pretty far apart. It sounds like Dak's agent said, and he's like, so, you know, did we get a counter offer? Like, what's it looking like? We making progress? Dak's agent was like, they're not even close. He was like, all right, let me get my Instagram open and do something petty.
Well, here's what I know and you know about business. And I know we joke a lot, but this is like for real, for real. In particular, when you look like me, most of the time, if we're overqualified, like the assistant for the like Eric Bieniemy, mm-hmm. or Dak Prescott, it really is frustrating to watch Carson Wentz and Jared Goff get paid. Now, I remember using those examples for years when they got paid and he didn't. Now, all I know is they're on different teams because of their performance or lack thereof. He got a thumb wrestle with the team that drafted him, that got the bargain already because he was a fourth round draft pick, and he got a thumb wrestle with them about being in a promotional video and get out his Twitter fingers and follow Washington to now start creating leverage, because when it's time for us to get paid, we always got to get another off.
Two things about that. Number one, I think it was Tenenbaum on GetUp suggested that you shouldn't be able to hire head coaches until the Super Bowl, and that makes perfect sense to me. Because Todd Bowles and Leftwich and Bieniemy, like what they did in the playoffs, it's kind of like the MVP of the NBA. It's like, yeah, that's a regular season MVP, but then someone else, it's like Giannis, the regular season MVP, but then LeBron dominates in the playoffs. It's like, wait a second, let's take the totality of the season, because right now, if you're one of the teams that hired a head coach, you might be thinking, huh, Todd Bowles did a good job shutting down that offense, didn't he? You might be thinking Byron Leftwich, wow, they really schemed up against those Chiefs. Woof. And Barack Bienemy, wait, how many records did this offense break over the last 3 years? It really feels like, and again, like this is just something that I don't really think about the NFL hiring schedule. I was just like, this makes too much sense. This makes too much sense that they're not going to do it.
Oh, Jacoby, you remember the movie Scanners when Jack Nicholson and the person's head just exploded? Boom.
Neither you or I have seen Scanners. We've just seen that scene. Let's be honest.
I've seen Scanners. But it'll look a lot different now. I used to love scary movies. Friday, Damien Omen, The Birds.
Scanners is not a scary movie.
Halloween, Friday the 13th.
Don't get distracted.
Okay. And so here's what Mike Tannenbaum did that I just went on a soliloquy to try to teach you. That 100% of the people that look like me, they was like, he preaching right now. He preaching like mom. And maybe 50% or more of the people that look like you was like, whoa, is he race baiting? What does he happen? No, it doesn't happen like that. You just showed me what I said. Literally, sometimes people don't understand. You just said it. They don't need to change the Super Bowl signing schedule for coaches. If somebody wanted to give Todd Bowles the job, they could have waited.
Yes. Jalen, you don't need me to explain to you the advantage of hiring a head coach, the leader of your organization, earlier on in the offseason so you can put in place the draft strategy and start your offseason work. I mean, there is an advantage to that. There's an advantage to sort of like solidifying that position a month earlier than after the Super Bowl because you can interview people. Like they weren't allowed to fly to interviews, Jay. So they're not getting the opportunities that these other people got opportunities to have.
Family, these are multi-billion-dollar conglomerates that they're paying Matt Rhule $60 million. You wait 30 to 60 days and get the information right. Losing teams like the Lions hire coaches that bite off kneecaps at the press conference. Or like Philadelphia Eagles hire people even though that they didn't have clothes for the interview and they dress down to make him feel comfortable. And then he get the job and he start talking about how their system is going to be so complicated that he can't even understand what he's saying. That's why you get those candidates. You actually wait. If I'm running the franchise, I'm doing what the Pittsburgh Steelers do. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to take my time. And instead of me hiring a coach that just got eliminated in the first round, maybe I'm going to sit back and watch the dice game and see who pick up all of the money, and then I want to bet them. That's how you do that. I ain't trying to stand around and bet the dude that's been betting $5. I'm going to stand around and see who collect $50,000, and then I'm betting him. I ain't letting the dude I bet $5 take my $50,000. That's short-sighted thinking by these franchises. Taking the totality of the information allows you to get the best candidate. And in this case, those candidates did amazing jobs on the biggest stage. And now those teams, like the Lions, lost out. But I'm gonna give you a little nugget that the Lions did that's gonna went all the way under the radar. We got one of the next great black coaches in the NFL, Deuce Staley, currently on our staff. Remember I told you that.
Yeah, after that press conference, everybody kept talking about how great the staff is that he hired around him. It's like no, forget about Dan Campbell. No, like, the guy wants to eat kneecaps. Don't worry about him. You see these other hires that we got? You see these other ones that we did? Yeah, okay. And you said something earlier in this broadcast that relates to that I just want to follow up with you on. When you said, the Lions always draft in the top five, but I don't think we're looking for a quarterback. And I would have to say to you, Mr. Rose, that if you think that you're not looking for a quarterback because you've got Jared Goff for 2 years at an ridiculous salary, then I want to just propose something to you. Let's imagine that the Lions draft.
Who out there?
Lance, Fields, everybody but Lawrence is on the table. All of them could slip. I would take the number five quarterback in the draft. And to develop them under Jared Goff for a year. See what you've got. They need to improve the quarterback position. Jared Goff is not the answer, and you know that, and I'm surprised to hear you say that.
Here's what I would do if I was building a football team. First and foremost, I would try to get a franchise quarterback.
Yes.
If I can't get a franchise quarterback, I'm not about to be the Minnesota Vikings paying Kirk Cousins like he wants.
No. I'm drafting quarterback every year till I hit.
Or the 49ers paying Jimmy Garoppolo like he wants. Because that just hamstrings the rest of my roster. You know what I would do? I would do what I like the Baltimore Ravens do. Or what Tampa Bay did. I'll build a team. And then I'll go try to snatch a quarterback like Denver did with Peyton Manning. That's what I would do.
Those quarterbacks you're snatching are expensive, though. Those quarterbacks you're snatching are expensive. Because you look at the quarterbacks that are on the market right now, they're all overpaid. All of them.
Correct. But when I'm snatching them, it's at top dollar, but it's for less years. So there's a team that signs Carson Wentz to $108 million. There's another team that signs Tom Brady to 2 years, $40 million. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I fully understand. And also say this is this. I believe in the strategy that you should draft a quarterback at least in one of the first two rounds if you don't feel 1,000% about the quarterback that you have in place. Like you should
you
just draft him, bring him into camp, and see it. Like you know, like it just it's such an influential. There is no position in team sports that's more influential over your outcome than the quarterback position. So you got to get that first.
Duh. You just said one of those cliches that I was talking about with football that I hear regurgitated by people in football over decades that's not accurate.
Name it. Name the position that's more influential in team sports. I'm listening.
No, I was agreeing with you. You're getting defensive. I hate when you're in your cycle. What I was going to say is...
That was rude. Take it back. That was rude. That was rude.
Take it back.
Okay.
So here's what I want to say before I forget. Because quarterback is so important, because quarterback is so influential, you now don't want to draft a quarterback because you want to protect somebody that you don't think is a franchise quarterback's feelings?
We're on the same page.
Is that what I've been hearing for decades?
Yeah, so it's just like, is that, oh no. No, we don't have any pitchers on our minor league AAA team because we don't want to insult the pitchers that we have on our Major League Baseball team, so we don't field pitchers. It's like, what do you mean? There isn't, like, Aaron Rodgers is going to die at some point. Like, we don't live forever. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be some succession
injured.
Plan in place.
He'll get injured. He might just throw it and hit a thumb on somebody's helmet for a couple
of
plays.
Direct snap to Aaron Jones. That's our plan B if he gets injured.
Right.
Which is kind of what the Rams did at some point this year, but we don't gotta get into
mad.
That.
Like they had the nerve to draft a quarterback. Oh my god!
It wasn't the number one overall pick either. It was somebody, I think Joe Luck got drafted in like the '20s or something. It was like
pick in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, granted, that truth be told, there were a lot of wide receivers still on the board at that point, but the backup quarterback is like it's like your 10th most important player on the team.
Hey,
it
dog,
really
let me
is.
Tell you something. That's like my basketball point. If I got Aaron Rodgers, yeah, I might want CeeDee Lamb. Yeah. But I need you to make Lazard better so I can go draft somebody on defense. That's what I need.
And you know what he went out and did? Do you know what he went out and did? He made Lazard better. He made Valdez Scantling a household name. I don't know Marquez Valdez Scantling. I didn't know who that was. The household name right now. Big shout out to Aaron Rodgers. We have to go, but I got to say this. People always think like losing a Super Bowl is like, oh, no, we weren't successful. So you're number one team in the NFC. You got beat by the Super Bowl champs. And you were in the game, unlike the Chiefs. And you're the MVP of the league. It's a great season. Pour yourself four fingers of scotch, Aaron Rodgers. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
I'm not going to even comment on those fingers. We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.